down and the children go back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together before we get started. Father, we come to you again this morning, and Lord, we're thankful that just as the song says, that you're always there for us, that you always hear our prayers, Lord, and we're so thankful for that today. So God, I pray that right now, Lord, that you will use me just a vessel of clay, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will be able to speak through my words, God, and these people haven't come today to hear what I have to say. But God, I pray that you'll help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. So Lord, I pray that you'll give your people help today. And God, just use me in a way that only you can. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have emotions that you struggle with? Do you feel like your emotions control you sometimes instead of you controlling your emotions? We all have emotions that we struggle with. Whether it be fear, whether it be worry, anxiety, or anger. Every single one of us feels like at some times our emotions control us rather than us controlling our emotions. And sometimes you feel like those emotions have tackled you to a place to where they have you gripped so hard where you feel like you will never be able to overcome those emotions that control you. Because whether you're worried, that worry consumes your life and it controls your thinking and your thoughts. Whether you're angry, that anger controls your thinking, your thoughts, and your ways of life. And you feel like it just controls you. That's what I want to talk about today in our message and probably even into next week, is overcoming crippling emotions. Overcoming those emotions that seem to control us. If you have your Bibles, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1 this morning. And Deuteronomy is part of the what we call the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch means the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And all five of these books were written by the man that you and I call, that we name Moses. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible here in Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And in Deuteronomy, what Moses is doing, especially in chapters 1 through 4, is he is referring back to the past in Israel's future. In other words, what he is doing here in chapter 1 is basically summarizing what happened in the book of Numbers. Okay, so this isn't happening right now. Moses is referring back to a time in the past in the book of Numbers. Find your place in verse number 6, and we'll begin reading in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, You have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the valley, in the south, by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. So what just happened here in these verses is that God is speaking to the children of Israel, saying, you've dwelt long enough here. It is time for you to go into the land that I have promised you. That's why we call it the promised land, because it was the land that God promised to give the children of Israel. So verse 8, God tells them, go into that land, take the land that I have promised you. Go to verse 26. We're going to skip through these. So remember, God says, go up to the land, take this land. But verse 26 says this, notwithstanding, Moses says, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. God said, go take the land. They did not do it, did they? They disobeyed God, and they did not go up. Go to verse 34. Because of that, this is what God says to them. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And Moses says in verse 37, also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in. And unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So God says, go up. They say no. God says, fine. None of you are going to see this land that I promised you except two of you, right? Who was it? Joshua and Caleb. Why didn't the others get to go in? Because they let their emotions get in the way of their actions. And I found a perfect illustration for this last night when I was laying in bed. I was watching a football interview of one of my teams that lost last night. And they asked the coach, they said, what is the main reason why you think you lost this game? And he said this. He said, we let our emotions get in the way. He said, we let the crowd dictate our emotions. We let the defense dictate what we did. Instead of sticking to our game plan, we let our emotions get in the way of our actions. And because we let our emotions get in the way, we lost the game. Can I tell you, when you and I let our emotions get in the way of our actions, it rarely turns out good, doesn't it? Because you see here in our text today, verse 8, God says, go in and possess the land. Because in verse 6, he said, listen, you've dwelt long enough here. You've dwelt long enough in Mount Sinai. It is time for you to go to this land that I've prepared for you. To go to this land that I've promised you. To go to this land that I've prepared for you. That I've planned, that I've promised. Now, how many people was God talking to? He was talking to the children of Israel, wasn't he? How many of them were there? I want you to think about this. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 1, verse 46, that there were 603,550 men above the age of 20 amongst the children of Israel. 603,550 men. They were just over the age of 20. That's not counting women or children. So if the women equal the amount of men over the age of 20, you're talking at least 1.2 to 2 million adults here. That God's saying, go in and possess the land. 2 million people. That's a lot of people to be walking around in a wilderness. But all these were over the age of 20. And by the end of the story in Deuteronomy 1, guess how many of them got to go in amongst those men? Two. So guess what that means, if you can do math? 603,548 of those men missed out on God's promise. That is a lot of people to miss out on God's promise. Why did they miss out on God's promise? I'll say it again. Because they let their emotions dictate their actions. And can I tell you, when you and I let our emotions dictate our actions, we get ourselves in trouble. What the children of Israel did was they walked by feeling rather than by faith. And when we walk by feeling rather than by faith, we will miss out on God's best for our life. How many of you want God's plan for your life? When we walk by feeling rather than by faith, we're going to miss it. Because our feelings aren't to dictate the way that we live. Our faith in God's Word is to dictate the way that we live. But you see, every single one of us have emotions in here that we struggle with. I don't know what it is. All of us have different ones that we struggle with. I would say the main one is probably worry and anxiety that all of us struggle with. But you see, our emotions that we have in this flesh, they were never meant to control our lives. They were never meant to control us. But God has given us the power to control them. Because when our emotions control the way we act, sometimes they will ruin God's plans for our lives. So what I want to do is the next 2 weeks is go over two emotions that have caused the children of Israel to miss out on God's promise. And unless we get these emotions in check, it will also cause us, I'm sure of, to miss out on some of God's promises for our life. Can I tell you two of the biggest emotions and the two that we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks? Next week we'll talk about overcoming our fear. All of us have fears, but God wants us to overcome it. And can I tell you the emotion that we're going to talk about today is overcoming our anger. Overcoming our anger. Because whether we like to admit it or not, there are a lot of things in this world that can get us mad. That can get us angry and that can allow basically anger to control the way that we live. Today, before we really get into our text, I want you to know something. The emotion of anger is very dangerous. Everybody knows that. The emotion of anger can become very dangerous. Genesis chapter number 4. There were 4 people on the face of the planet, and you have a murder take place. As I was studying that back in January when we were doing our Genesis series, that got me thinking. Genesis 4, in the beginning of the world, 4 people on the face of the planet, and you had a murder take place. You know how many guns were around in Genesis 4? You know how many TVs were around in Genesis 4? You know how many other people were around to influence Cain in Genesis 4? None. So guess what? Even today in 2019, you can't blame all the bad stuff that's happening on that stuff. Because even if you take away every single thing, it's still going to be some bad things happening. Because the source of the problem in our world today is not a gun, it's not a society, it's not music, it's not TV, it's not the people that you hang out with. The source of every problem is the human heart. That was the problem in Genesis 4. That's the problem today, is the human heart. Because every single one of us are born as sinners. And sin affects everything that we do. So Genesis 4, the first murder takes place. Why did it take place? Because Cain got angry. And when Cain got mad, it resulted in him murdering somebody. There's plenty of people in prison right now who just got angry one time and they did exactly what Cain did, and now they're paying for it the rest of their life. Because that's what anger does. It escalates unless you control it. But a few things about anger just before, like I said, we get into it. Anger is something that unless we control it, it will control us. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand because everybody ought to raise your hand. How many times have you got mad and said stuff you wish you wouldn't have said? How many times have you got mad and did things you wouldn't have done? Amen. Some of you raised your hand back there. Thank you. Unless we control it, it will control us. But let me say this. All anger is not bad anger. Did you know that? All anger is not bad anger. There ought to be a few things that you get mad about. There ought to be a few things that you get mad about. If somebody at your work blasphemes and says, takes the name of Jesus in vain and says it with another derogatory term right after it, you ought not to just look at it and say, oh, whatever. You ought to get mad about that. When they set up an abortion clinic in your backyard, you ought not look at it and say, oh, whatever. You ought to get mad about it. Can I tell you, the New Age generation looks and says, oh, Jesus just walked around. He was so happy. He was so graceful all the time. He never got mad about anything. But obviously they didn't read their Bible, because in John chapter 2, Jesus got pretty mad. Because in the temple, they were selling things that God meant to be free. And Jesus walks in the temple, and what did he do? He didn't look at it and say, oh, y'all do whatever y'all want to do in God's house. No, he took some cords, he bound them together, and he made a whip. This is Jesus, the Son of God, went through saying, get out of my Father's house with all this stuff. I'm not having it. Was Jesus mad? Mark chapter number 3, Jesus got mad. A man walked into a synagogue just like this. He had a withered hand, and Jesus wanted to heal him. Because he had compassion on people. And he looked around and he could see the people looking. Because it was the Sabbath. And the Pharisee said, you shouldn't do anything on the Sabbath except sit down, apparently. And Jesus said, let me ask y'all something. Is it right to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? Obvious question. But they didn't even answer him. Because they couldn't answer it. And the Bible says Jesus looked on them with anger. And he healed the man, and they got mad that he healed the man on the Sabbath day. Jesus got angry. You know what that means? Was Jesus a sinner? But Jesus got mad. So what does that mean? All anger is not sinful anger. There ought to be some things that you and I get mad about. Can I tell you, anger becomes a sin when we act out on that anger. Anger becomes a sin when we let it control us rather than us controlling it. When you let your anger control you and just act out in an unrighteous kind of way, that is when it becomes a sin against God. Because James chapter 1 verse 20 says this, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, your outburst of anger, your outburst of wrath, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're out in this world, it does not work the righteousness of God. And it brings nothing good out of it. So that's just a few things about the anger before we get into our text here about overcoming our anger. Notice in our text, only 2 men got to go into the promised land. Only two men, Joshua and Caleb, right? Now I ask you this question. Why didn't Moses get to go in? Moses. If you go over literally all the way across this world and you mention the name Moses, most people are going to know exactly who you're talking about. There's a lot of people in America who know exactly who Moses is and they've never touched a Bible their entire life. Everybody's heard of Moses. And yet even in our text, although Moses was a man of great faith, I would love to have the faith that Moses has, but yet Moses did not get to go into the promised land. Why? Because he got angry. Did you know Moses struggled with the emotion of anger? I know that we set Peter and Paul and Moses and David and Daniel up on pedestals, but did you know all of those men had flesh just like we have? Moses. Some of you didn't know that. Moses struggled with the emotion of letting his anger overcome him. So go to Numbers chapter number 20, and I'll show you that. This is the whole reason why Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. Just flip back a few pages from where you were in Deuteronomy 1. It's a few pages before that. Numbers chapter number 20. They're walking around here in the wilderness, as they often did in the Old Testament. But verse 2 of Numbers chapter number 20, this is exactly where God says you can't go in because you acted out. Verse 2, there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode or complained with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? And why have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. I mean, these people are just getting all over Moses, complaining about every little thing that pops up. You talk about being a bad congregation. This was a bad congregation. They complained about everything. And Moses, the Bible says in verse 7, Moses heard it, and the Lord also heard it. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. And notice this. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, you rebels. How'd you like that sermon to start out next Sunday? Listen up, you bunch of rebels! He said, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Verse 11, Moses lifted up his hand with the rod, and he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. But then the Lord looks and says, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. He said, where do you see anger there? Well, verse 10, he called them a bunch of rebels. He wasn't in a good spirit. But verse 8, God looked at Moses and said, Moses, you see that rock over there? There's water in it. All you got to do is walk over there and speak to it, and it'll give forth water. But the Bible says Moses walked over there and took the rod and began to beat it. He said, what's he doing? He was madder than fire. Because they complained all the time. And yet God didn't come to Moses and say, I realize why you're mad. They were complaining a lot. You were justified. He came to Moses and said, now you messed up your life. Because you got mad at what they were doing. So you see Moses' anger here. He acted out. And now God says, you cannot go into the promised land. Because when Moses got mad, he just wanted to hit something. He just wanted to hit something. So what I want to do today, just for the next few minutes, I want to give you three things. Number one, the cause of anger. Now, what I'm not going to do is go by the cause of anger, because I'd be in here for the next 7 hours of why we get mad. Right? There are 7,000 different reasons why you and I get mad. I'm not going to go over the cause of anger. I'm going to go over the cause of why we act out on that anger. The cause of why we let our anger to control us. Listen to this. Are you listening? Say amen. The main reason we act out on our anger is we act on impulse. So what does that mean? To act on impulse means you go with your first reaction. And Moses heard their complaining, and his first reaction was, I need to hit something, man. And you see, Moses got in trouble because he went with his first reaction. Moses disregarded what God said to do what he felt like doing. Anytime we disregard what God says and do whatever our feelings tell us to do, we're going to get in trouble. To act on impulse means we go with our first reaction, and that is why we let our anger control us, is because we act on our first reaction. Let me give you an example. Tomorrow, when you show up to work, and the first thing you do when you get there, your coworker walks up to you and says, why didn't you do this on Friday? And your boss comes up and just gets all over you, 8:30 in the morning. I mean, you just had your coffee. It's Monday. You ain't really feeling good anyway. And your boss walks up to you and just lets you have it for something. Your first reaction is not going to be, thanks, man. Your first reaction is going to be, well, let me let you have it back. Amen. We're all flesh. Y'all don't get quiet on me. I'll preach for 7 hours. Your first reaction is going to be, let him have it. All right, let me give you another example. You didn't like that one. You're going to get a bite of chicken after church. You're going down 321, and you excited. Boy, that sermon was good today. I don't know if y'all say that, but you excited. And here comes this car right then, and they cut you off. Is your first reaction going to be to look at your wife and say, honey, do you see that? Wasn't that cool? He just cut me off out of nowhere. What a great day. Praise God. Or is your first reaction going to be to get up right beside him and do something you ain't going to be proud of or your preacher wouldn't like to see? That's going to be your first reaction, right? And you see, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. When you obey your first reaction. You see, I told you, Moses, his first reaction when he got mad, I need to hit something. And I can understand this. Because I have two older brothers, and one of them, every time he got mad, his first reaction was to hit something or throw something. We'd be playing upstairs in a video game. I mean, me and my other brother, we used to mess with him all the time. We thought it was funny when he got mad. So we'd be playing, and he hated losing to me because I was his little brother. You ain't supposed to lose to your little brother in a video game. I remember we'd play the football game, and we'd be in the fourth quarter. And I knew I was going to beat him. I could see it was coming down to 2 minutes. I'd be ahead, and I'd look over, and his face started to turn red. Them hands started to sweat, and them hands started to grip that controller. And about, the clock went down, 3, 2, 1, and I looked at my other brother. I said, it's time to duck. And we ducked, and that controller went, boom, right across that room. Put a big old hole in the wall. And every time that happened more than once, by the way. Every time that happened, all you would hear was, my dad downstairs, Andrew! He didn't even know who it was, yet he did know who it was. Because it was him every time. And you see, he had to pay the consequences for throwing that controller. A nice discipline. And you see, Moses, because he acted out on his anger, he had to pay the consequences for it. You see, he had wanted to go into the promised land all of his life. God had said, let's go. Free my people so we can take them into the land. And he did. But now Moses acted out, man, just one time. Just one time. And God says you can't go into the promised land because you let their actions dictate yours. And when we let other people's actions dictate our actions, we also are going to get ourselves into trouble. Because Moses could have easily said, God, but the only reason I got mad is because of them. But God said, yeah, but you didn't have to. You didn't have to let them dictate the way that you acted. So his anger here was caused by their complaining, but it was caused also because of he acted on his first reaction. You say, well, what do I do to keep myself from acting on my first reaction? It's a hard thing to do. What do I do to keep from acting out and letting my anger control me? Well, let me use this illustration. You're watching a football game, the quarterback's here, the offensive line's here, the defensive line here. They get up to the line, the quarterback's ready to snap the ball. He's got the play in his mind, he knows where he's going with the ball. All he sees is this 6'4", 270-pound linebacker about to come around the line and blindside him and take his head off. When he drops back, is the time to decide what he's going to do when that linebacker is right here about to take his head off? No. The time to decide what he's going to do is before the play even starts. It's saying, all right, if he comes around this way, I'm going to do this. Because if he waits to decide until that linebacker's right here, he's doomed. He's got to decide what he's going to do before the play even starts. And I tell you that to tell you this. You've got to decide what you're going to do before something ever even makes you mad. When you're driving to work tomorrow, you already know something's going to make you mad Monday morning. So when you're driving to work, already decide what you're going to say when they let you have it. Because the thing to say back is not to let them have it. The thing to say back is, all right, I'll do it. And you walk off. And you don't let their anger dictate yours. You see, if you don't decide beforehand what you are going to do, those emotions are going to control you and you are going to act out. But when you decide beforehand and say, God, I'm going to obey you no matter what happens today, no matter what comes my way, I'm not going to act out in anger, but I hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Can I tell you, when you wake up in the mornings and go to work without reading your Bible, the devil knows it. And the devil says, boy, I got them today. They didn't even have God's Word in their heart. That's the only chance you and I got. Is to have God's Word right here and to say, this is what I'm going to do when situations pop up. So decide what you are going to do beforehand, before the situation ever even comes. And here today, you'll see that Moses not only had the cause of anger as he acted on his first reaction, but the consequences of anger, we've already been through it. The consequences to Moses was that he didn't get to go into the promised land that he had prepared for all of his life. It hindered his relationship or his fellowship with God. Now, did this anger make Moses lose his salvation? No. And as a Christian, it doesn't matter what you do, it will not make you lose your salvation if you have the Holy Spirit and you are born again. Your anger won't cause you to lose your salvation. But you know what it'll do? It'll cause you to step out of fellowship with God. You see, you can't walk with God and be angry all the time at the same time. If you are acting out of anger, you can't walk with God at the same time. It's impossible. So see, acting out and letting our anger control us, it breaks our fellowship with God. Not only does it hinder our fellowship, but it also hurts our relationships with other people. Anger hurts your relationships with other people. How many families have you seen have been hurt because of anger? How many churches have you seen split right down the middle because of anger? The consequences of anger are brutal. They are brutal. The consequences, they aren't worth it. All of us have got mad, said things we weren't supposed to say. All of us have got mad, done things that we aren't supposed to do. And when you finally calm down an hour, maybe 8 hours later, you look back and say, what do you say? That wasn't worth it. You say, that was not worth it. Because my words are something that I can never take and take them back. See, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. When somebody's yelling at you, and you yell right back, guess what that's going to do? Escalate the situation. But when somebody's getting all over you and you return a soft answer, guess what it's going to do? It's going to take it down a notch. The Bible says that. Not your counselor. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Give back a soft answer and see what it does next time. Because it'll take it down a notch. Instead of giving back a hard answer like you want to. Because that always just takes it up. And it gets worse. And an hour later you'll say, why in the world did I do that? And you'll regret it. The consequences of anger is that it hinders our fellowship with God. It hurts our relationships with others. Now the question, if you're listening, the question that you should be asking right now is, all right, that's what anger is. That's what anger does. What do I do about it? How do I stop my anger from controlling me? That's what I want to talk about. Thirdly, and I'll be done. Y'all hungry for chicken, I can tell it. If I don't hurry, y'all going to get angry. How do we overcome it? How do you overcome letting anger control you? Let me use this illustration. If you're going down, what is it, Cox Road today, and you see that big old sign on the left that's red, and it says, hot now. But you on a diet. That ain't no fun either. But you're driving down the road and you see that big old Krispy Kreme donut sign, hot now. Praise God for hot now donuts. But you're on a diet. I don't even know where I was going. That got me all... What do you need to keep driving by? Anybody? There you go. Self-control. Self-control is what you need to keep on going and not give in. Can I tell you, when something makes you mad, when something gets you angry, to prevent yourself from acting out and letting it control you, what do you need? Self-control. Self-control is something that every single person in here needs. All of us. Whether you deal with anger or whether you deal with something else, self-control will help every single one of us. You say, well, how do I get self-control? How do I get self-control? Listen. Self-control is a result of spirit control. Hear me? Self-control is a result of spirit control. Look at what the Bible says. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, this is the things that the Holy Spirit produces. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And that word for temperance means self-control. In other words, if you want self-control, the Holy Spirit can give it to you. The fruit of the Spirit. See, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of your heart, the inside of your life. But we also still have this flesh, don't we? The fruit of the flesh, the Bible says in Galatians 5, is anger, wrath, blasphemy, lying to one another. All these things is the flesh. So when you act out of anger, all it is you are letting the flesh control you rather than letting the Spirit of God control you. The answer to having self-control is to let the Spirit of God take control of your life. When you're saved, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And every morning you can wake up and say, I'm going to live by what the Spirit tells me to do, or I'm going to live by what the flesh tells me to do. And the flesh will tell you, get mad. The flesh will tell you, act out. The flesh will tell you, say whatever words you want to say. Who wants to be that kind of person? Nobody. But you know what the Spirit will do? He will produce in you a loving person. A person that is joyful. A person that is long-suffering with somebody else. Person that is gentle, a person that is kind, and a person that has self-control. That's the secret to the whole thing. I can't help you. A counselor can't help you, but God can help you. Let me ask you something. I know nobody's going to come down to the altar today because you don't want anybody else to think that you struggle with anger. That's fine. But you that struggle with anger, when's the last time you went to God in prayer and said, God, I struggle with this. I need your help. When's the last... you know what? Not anger. It can be something else. Whatever you're struggling with, when is the last time you went to God and said, God, I struggle with this. I need you to help me overcome it. Or how many times do we just think, oh, well, maybe one day. Every time you go to God and say, God, I need help, that is a prayer He answers every single time. He will give you the help that you need to overcome whatever emotions control you. Because emotions were never meant to control us. God has given us the Spirit of God to help control them. You can't do it by yourself. So stop trying and let God do it. Because He can do it through you. The Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you and me if you're saved. That is the third person of the Trinity. All powerful, all knowing, everywhere at one time. You're telling me He can't give you the power over your emotion? That's a lie. Straight from hell. The devil tells you, you'll never be able to overcome this. But my God is still in the business of helping people overcome. And you see, anger is something that cripples you. It cripples you. But when Jesus used to walk by a lame man, that lame man started to walk again. Can I tell you, Jesus is still walking by today. And when all He has to do is touch you, and you'll get up and start walking. And you know what those lame men used to do when they got healed? The first thing they did was they went and told the whole town, I met a man named Jesus, and He made me to walk. Can I tell you the reason the devil does not want you to overcome your anger? Because the first thing you will do when you overcome it is tell somebody else, and God will get glory. I've heard people right here in this church say, God has been helping me the past 2 months. Help me overcome my anger. And you see, that helps me to know that God is still in the business of doing that. And when you tell other people at work, God's name spreads, God's name gets glorified, and that's why He don't want you to overcome it. Because God's name will go out. It'll spread, and other people will start thinking, I struggle with anger. But that man got help from God. Maybe I can. God can help you overcome it, but you got to ask Him. And you got to let Him have control over your life. Musicians, you can come forth. Everybody stand to their feet. If there is anybody in here today who's not saved, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, let me tell you this. You don't have a chance. You do not have a chance against the struggles that you go up against. There's no chance because our flesh is weak. So come down here and ask Jesus to come on the inside of your heart, and He will help you with whatever you're struggling with every day the rest of your life. Father, thank You for Your Son. Father, thank You. You've given us the power over whatever we struggle with, God. Even though we can come and ask You for it, God, You've already given us the power through the Holy Spirit of God who lives on the inside of You, God, on the inside of us. So, God, help us to exercise that power and the person of the Holy Spirit that You've given to us, Lord. I pray that You'll be with these people. Lord, I pray they found help today through Your Word. God, just be with us as we go out of this place. God, to let You control our lives, not our emotions. We love You today, Lord. Thank You for giving us all that You have. In Jesus' name, amen.